Okay, so let's just do a little bit of recap of kind of last week. So we talked about Jacob's dream. We talked about God's ladder in between the dream. Do you remember what he saw in the dream by chance? Anyone? Yes. It might not, I don't know if it would be in that part of it. Nice. Looking. All right, so let me just go into a little quick here. Do you see it? Let's see, that's Jacob. Okay, yeah, that might be a little different, but you're close, I know. So real quick, what did Jacob see in his dream? He saw a ladder reaching to heaven, right? Yes. So we saw the ladder, okay? We saw that the angels were ascending and descending. We saw God himself at the top and Jacob at the bottom, right? So what was God trying to teach in that picture? Do you remember? Maybe those were here last week. Really? You remember anything? No? You're true, you weren't here. But Emma, do you remember? No? Okay. So he was, true, we did talk a little bit, which I'm glad you asked. She asked me about it yesterday. Hopefully I taught her something. So, but what were they teaching, right? They were teaching that God had made a way for sinful Jacob to obtain the blessing. And what's really unique in that picture is you have God up here and Jacob here, and something in between to mediate, something, that bridge, which we can see is Christ, right? It's the bridge between us and God. Really beautiful thing. So now we're coming at it with a different part where you have Jacob being told by Isaac to go into this town and meet his uncle, and he's going to marry one of his daughters. So that's kind of where we're going is Jacob is leaving that point to go see that. So I'm going to give you three questions. Try to remember it real best you can, and everyone listening and here today, and then we'll go into some scripture. So first question is, whose house did Jacob arrive at? So keep that in mind. How did Jacob and Laban, his uncle, how did Jacob ask Laban to pay him for his work? And when the wedding day arrived, who did Laban actually give Jacob to as his wife? So kind of keep this in mind. Marlene, you're staring me down, girl. I'm feeling it. Hopefully I'm doing it right. Like, geez, she's in it. All right, so those three questions, so think about that. And let me go and read the scripture for you, okay? So we have Genesis 29. And we're going to go into verses 13 through 23 for the first part, and then verses 25 through 28. All right. So it happened that when Laban heard the report of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and he kissed him. So his uncle's coming to Jacob and embracing him and kissing him and brought him to his house. Then he recounted to Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh, your family. Okay. And he stayed with them for 1 month. Right? Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? So he's saying, how will you earn this? What can we pay you with? Right? So Laban had two daughters, right? The name of the older one was Leah, and the name of the younger one was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak. She's a little older, weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. And before this, Jacob actually saw Rachel. And so at this point, now Jacob loved Rachel. Okay, so he said, I will serve you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. So he made a deal with his uncle. I serve you for 7 years. In return, you allow me to marry your daughter, the younger one, Rachel, right? Make sure you remember it's Rachel. So he said, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Why? Because he knows him. Okay, so stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they were in the sight. And they were in his sight, but for a few days because of his love for her. So it didn't feel very long. 7 years, more like 7 minutes, 7 days, really short because he was in love, right? Then Jacob said to Laban at the time, give me my wife for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast because get ready for marriage, right? It's been the 7 years at this point. Now it happened that in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him. And Jacob went to her, and now it happened in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? So he's been deceived, okay? So Laban said, it is not the practice in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. So there he goes. He lied to him. He told him he would, but it's not the practice. So fulfill the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week and gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. So, a lot happened. He came to marry. He came to work for 7 years for Rachel. But instead, he got tricked into marrying Leah by Laban. Does that sound familiar, being tricked? Does that sound familiar from the previous stuff we studied up on? Did Jacob trick anyone? Ah, yes. How interesting. So the main idea I'm trying to get with you guys today is God humbled Jacob in the wilderness as he was coming, but showing him the sinfulness of his sin, right? So the questions I asked for you already, whose house did Jacob arrive at? Yes. Close. It was his uncle, Laban, right? So his uncle Laban's, and Jacob would live with Laban for about 20 years. Kind of cool. Now, how did Jacob ask Laban to pay him for his work? Do you remember what Jacob asked for it? I worked for you for 7 years if you, what? If I can marry Rachel. Yes, by giving him Rachel, his younger daughter, to be his wife. But Laban agreed to give his younger daughter Jacob in exchange for 7 years of hard labor as a shepherd. Yeah, marriage is a little different nowadays, isn't it? I didn't have to work for 7 years for Brooke. I dated her for 4 years, and I should have married her way earlier. So I labored, and it was my choice, so not good. should have went earlier. Now, when the wedding day arrived, who did Laban actually give to Jacob as his wife? So who is the other sister? Leah. Yes, his older daughter, Leah. So Laban tricked Jacob in order to get more work out of him. That's just bad, right? If Jacob wanted Rachel, he would now have to serve Laban for another 7 years. So this girl's really special. 14 years, all right? Ah, I will read into that. Yes. Why important for Rachel? So, strengthened by the dream God had given him at Bethel, where he had the dream about the ladder, Jacob journeyed towards his uncle Laban's house hoping to find a wife, as Isaac had asked him to and told him to. Now, there's two comparisons to this. In Jacob's journey, okay, do you remember the servant that Isaac sent out to find him a wife? Do you guys remember that at all? Anything? So the cool thing about that comparison is his servant was praying to God about his Isaac's wife. So he was relying on God, depending on him for that journey. But here, you're going to see a different contrast, where Jacob is still depending on himself, right? So the expedition was like on Abraham's servant that went on, we search for a wife for Isaac, which says in Genesis 24. Both men traveled east to a well, where they each met a beautiful woman and were received in a friendly way. But while Abraham's servant prayed about this journey, okay, Genesis 24:12, there is no indication in these verses that Jacob was praying to the Lord. So there's already a first problem right there. He's depending on himself and not God, okay? He was still far too dependent on himself. So Jacob needed to be broken. Yeah, funny phrase. Needed to be broken, okay? He needed to see the greatness of his sin, and he needed to see how desperately hopeless he was apart from God's grace, okay? So while staying with Laban, Jacob fell in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel. When the opportunity came, he offered Laban 7 years of service for Rachel. And Jacob loved her so much, it seemed like 7 minutes. Oh, good, Olivia. She's going to teach you some things too while she sits there. So, but when the wedding day arrived, Jacob was tricked, okay? He thought he was marrying Rachel, but in the darkness of the night, okay, as it was all going through, Jacob, who had his blind father Laban, had taken advantage of Jacob's inability to see in the dark. So, if Jacob wanted to have the woman he loved, he would have to serve Laban for another 7 years because he got tricked. So God was enrolling Jacob in the school of humility. So this is a big school of humility. It's college level. This is big. So Jacob needed to learn what it was like to be tricked by a trusted family member. Ow, right? That's painful. I mean, he did it before, and now he's like, whoa, wow, this hurts. This really does hurt. But he did it before to his dad. He did it to his brother. Okay, he took the birthright and the blessing from Esau. Okay, he tricked them both. He needed to get a taste of what Isaac and Esau must have experienced by his trickery. So he now felt it. And in this way, Jacob would grow to hate his sin. And in this way, God would make Jacob's repentance more heartfelt. Through the years of painful toil, God was breaking Jacob, so that he could be made useful, like a potter in clay where they break down the clay and build it up new. And that's what God does in our lives constantly. Breaks us down, deny ourselves, follow into Christ, and bring us back up. So three questions, and I know you guys are in it. I'll end it with this. So let me ask you this. How was Jacob different from Abraham's servant? Do you remember the comparison says it between the two? What did one do that the other didn't? Yeah, come on. He what? Not tricked them. They both did that. But what's something they did on the journey? Who do they rely on? Okay, one relied on God. He prayed, right? Who was that? No, it was a servant. Yes, the servant prayed and relied on God, right? I know, you're close. But Jacob did not do that. So Jacob was not praying to the Lord. He was still depending on himself and his own strength. We are all like Jacob by nature. We all want to do stuff on our own, right? We depend on ourselves. It's easier to do. I do it a lot, and Brooke has to bring me down all the time because it just doesn't work, and I realize it afterwards. She has very sound wisdom, and it's harder for me. But we need God to what? Humble us. We need God to break us down because sometimes we get prideful. We think we know it all. We think we're better, and yet God has to bring that because we can't do it on our own, right? So now, how did Laban cheat Jacob? So what did he do? You remember? Yes. Yeah, so instead of giving Rachel, he gave him Leah. And the way he did it was, well, that's not part of our custom in the sense to give you the youngest. I'll give you the firstborn. And that was his little wording. But yeah, he gave Jacob his older daughter, right? So Leah to marry instead of Rachel. Because it was nighttime and women veiled their faces in the wedding, so they veiled their faces, Jacob did not know Laban was tricking him, right? Coming tonight, you see this? You see the veil? You just trust that. He had a trusted family member. He trusted it. Now, Jacob did not know Laban was tricking him because Jacob the cheater, listen to this, Jacob the cheater was himself cheated. That's painful. That's hard, right? You don't want to be cheated like that. But yet he did it before to his family. So now he's feeling what he had done to somebody else. You ever done that before where God reminds you when you had done something else, like you lied to somebody else, they lied to you, and you feel like that conviction, like, wow, I did that. And now you're feeling it because someone did it to you before, and you're like, well, that person shouldn't do that to me. That's mean. And then you do it, and oh, it's painful. It is painful. And he would pay a great price for it. Years of difficult and dangerous labor as a shepherd. So instead, being tricked, he worked 14 years. Now, let's wrap it all up real quick. What was God showing Jacob through Laban's cheating? So how was God working in this? What was he showing you? Yes. Correct. The greatness of his sin. Okay? So Jacob needed to see how wicked and hurtful cheating was in order to be brought to a godly sorrow. Okay? Not a manly sorrow. A man's sorrow is, you know, someone catches you in the act of sin. You're like, oh, I got caught. Now I feel ashamed. But it doesn't change your heart. You don't try to repent and turn away. Godly sorrow is one that grieves God. You feel that conviction. And so you want to repent and turn away from that. So now he's being shown in order to be brought to a godly sorrow and repentance for it, okay? We need God to, what, teach us this lesson as well. And my little note I want to throw in here is, you look at God's standard and the law and how we know the law doesn't save us, but it condemns us, right? It shows us our sin and where we stand with God, where God's standard is this high, perfect in the law. Christ never sinned. Here we are. We sin. Once we sin once, we break all the commandments, right? It says in James. So God's standard shows how wicked we are in our sin. So when we realize our own depravity, we learn our works cannot save us. We agree? Our works can't do it. Okay? Now, but only through Jesus Christ and his perfect work can we be saved. So the gospel, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we trust in him. When we repent of our sins, we turn away and trust in Christ because he's true salvation. And we need that all the time. You guys agree? Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening today. Let's go into prayer and we'll start with the worship. God, we thank you for these times that we study the word. We're so grateful for it as it pierces us, as your word does in Hebrews 4:12. And a lot of times we need to be broken down. We think we know it all. We're prideful. We get stuck in those ways. We know a little more knowledge than somebody else and that just sticks with us. And we ask you, Lord, to help us deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. Through the Spirit's guidance, to break us down. So now we trusted you, we love your commandments, and obey you as you rightly deserve. And we thank you, Lord, for everything. And it's in your name we pray, amen.